My name is Josh Barrow. This is the PublicSectorInc.org podcast for the week of December 20th, 2010. I'm the Walter B. Wriston Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributor to Public Sector Inc. And this week we're talking with Stephen Greenhut, who's the author of this week's piece, California Leaders Offering False Budget Choices. Stephen is the editor-in-chief of Cal Watchdog. He's also the director of the Pacific Research Institute's Journalism Center and the author of Plunder, How Public Employee Unions Are Raiding Treasuries, Controlling Our Lives, and Bankrupting the Nation, which is a very uplifting title. Stephen, your piece this week talks a little bit about what's been going on with California's budget and sort of what we're likely to see in the upcoming session. Do you want to talk first about Governor-elect Brown, who's your new governor-elect, or I guess you could say he's your old governor-elect since he was also governor in the 1970s? He had this fairly sobering presentation. Do you want to talk a little bit about what was in that and sort of what he's trying to lay the groundwork to do?
Sure. Brown is trying to alert the public to the depth of the state's budget problems, which everyone's pretty well aware of how bad the budget situation is. And he had a budget briefing a week or so ago. And what I believe he's doing, and it seems pretty clear, is he's showing the degree to which the normal way of doing things cannot fix the budget situation. So the result is he wants to keep certain things on the table. He talks about, let's keep everything on the table. And what he wants to keep on the table, of course, him and the state's leading Democrat, are tax increases. What he's trying to show is the degree to which we can't, he's suggesting that the state's budget is cut to the bone, that the borrowing is too high, which it is, and we're being faced with a choice that's coming down the pike, which is severe cuts or tax increases, and we know which direction state's Democratic leaders are looking for. They want the latter. The talk is that what he's going to do is, now that the state's Democrats, which have almost but not quite a two-thirds majority in the legislature, and the state has had a supermajority requirement to pass budget and to pass tax increases, and now, after November 2nd, Prop 25 passed, and that allowed budgets to be passed with a simple majority, although tax increases still need a supermajority. So what we expect to see, or what the buzz is that Brown and the Democratic leaders are going to pass a very austere budget portrayed as crippling cuts to public services, and then Brown and company will follow up quickly with a series of initiatives that would raise taxes. And California's voters, who they tend to support every sort of program that comes down the pike, and they also don't like tax increases, so we'll be forced to choose. And it's kind of a cynical ploy. It might actually work politically, but that's what we're expecting. And the push is to get higher taxes.
Yeah, so it's sort of an interesting dynamic you have set up there. The Democrats can't pass a tax increase on their own, but what they do have the power to do is to sort of give a take-it-or-leave-it offer to the state's voters, say, you know, well, you have to take the tax increase unless you take this budget that not only cuts drastically, but it cuts in a specific way. And it sounds like what you lay out in the piece is there are some less painful options for them to save money that they're going to pass over and instead go for some more painful options, partly the idea being to protect public employee union interests, and partly the idea being to make it look so unpalatable that voters will go for the tax increase.
No, that's exactly right. The issue here, the point in the article is there's a third choice. We can reform how money is spent right now. I mean, the assumption in the Democratic thinking is that the state's basically cut to the bone, that we can't really challenge any of the underlying assumptions about how we spend the money. All we can do, we have this choice, and it's a false choice, and Republicans inadvertently buy into it. It's more cuts or higher taxes. That's the choice. But here's a state that has more than 15,000 members of the $100,000 pension club, and that number's growing by about 40% every year.
Wow.
If you look at the ranks of public employees and the amount of money that's spent on public employee salaries and these crazy pensions and retiree health care, Californians are not getting, I know this is shocking to hear, and we're not getting a lot for the money that we're spending. You know, at the budget briefing, the Democrats presented some charts that showed that California has fewest number of public employees per 10,000 population, or among the fewest. We have the highest teacher to pupil ratios. Their suggestion, the Democrats' suggestion, is that means that we're already cut to the bone. But what it really means is that we just spend so much money on the existing public employees that we're not getting much bang for the buck. So why not go in and reform these things? Or one of my reporters wrote an article just looking at the billions that are spent on various, what he calls luxury goods, you know, related to environmental spending and things that I'm not talking about basic clean water, clean air, but just, you know, Californians spend billions on a stem cell agency that has reports show that that money, basically a boondoggle, is going to enrich people and build new buildings. It's not doing much actual science. There are lots of things that can be looked at to be cut. There are lots of ways we can cut, but nobody wants to change the way we spend. We're just being offered this false choice. And what happens, like for instance on pension issues, pensions are a senior obligation of the state. So the most senior obligation is public education, K through 14. Thanks to Proposition 98, 40% of the state general fund budget goes to school spending.
That's something that's often underappreciated by people out in other states, is how balkanized the state budget is in California and how little control the legislature often has over what it can do with that. I mean, Prop 98 being the biggest example, that they have to spend that 40% on education. And when you had the booming revenues during the tech bubble and in the middle of this decade, that drastically drives up how much you have to spend on education and sets new floors for it, if I understand correctly.
No, that's exactly right. And then so we have this huge amount. Now, the problem is it's hard to change these things because they're in the state constitution, thanks a lot to voters. anyway, we have that's the most senior obligation. And the next would be either debt service or pension. That's arguable, which would be next. And then so what we end up with is when things have to be cut, it gets cut out of some of the basic social safety net programs, where personally I'm for cutting basically everything. But all the same, the programs that are arguably the most necessary are the ones that get slashed and burned. And that's how we get this false choice where the Democrats say, look, we're going to be throwing poor people on the street if you don't raise taxes. But then the rest of us say, yeah, but what about this enormous budget that goes to all these other things that isn't spent very efficiently? And there are all sorts of public enrichment schemes. Why is that all off the table? Why can't we challenge any of the basic assumptions? Now, I'm not suggesting that it's easy, that anyone could sit down and just come up with a budget that would fix that. I mean, a lot of these spending priorities are put in place by voters, and it would be very difficult. We'd need other initiatives to unravel them. If nobody's going to challenge the basic assumptions of how we're spending the money right now, then it's just going to be the same old, same old. It's more spend more, or cut more, or raise taxes. So.
So I guess, we've sort of mapped out, the general idea that there are, ways that structurally California spends much more money than it needs on certain things, and that crowds out other priorities. But what are a couple of tangible examples that Californians can take away to understand when they're being presented with this draconian set of budget choices? What are specific things that the state government could be spending less money on, whether that's, areas in employee compensation or other areas, that would save money in a way that's a lot less painful than what's likely to be proposed in the coming 6 months?
Well, I think that the key area is, public employees. I mean, there's no reason we can't aggressively challenge the compensation levels and pension levels. The stem cell agency is another one. That sort of thing needs to go away.
And that's another ballot initiative creation.
Yeah,
right?
So of course.
Another,
but, yeah. Everything ends up in ballot initiatives, right? Where, I mean, the governor-elect is looking at doing a bunch of ballot initiatives to raise taxes. They're going to take time, and we're going to end up with a lot of ballot initiatives because that's how we've done so much law here in California. California's progressive reforms, where essentially we direct democracy. I mean, you get the good. You get Prop 13, which limited property tax revenues and kept folks from being taxed out of their home. And then you get the bad, like Prop 98 and Prop 71, I believe, which was the stem cell agency.
And Prop 98 is the education funding formula.
The education,
yes.
One. So I think those are, that's probably probably the good starting place. I mean, we look at how much money gets spent also on the implementation of the global warming law. I mean, California is kind of taking the lead and something that's going to cost quite a bit. The other thing that we're not looking at educational choice or any sort of competitive pressures or outsourcing or the auditor did a report showing that the California Department of Transportation, Caltrans, has thousands of workers who have basically nothing to do. And their efforts to fight, the outsourcing of engineering work to private engineers, all these sorts of things would save a dramatic amount of money. The other thing, too, is if we could work on the state's punitive regulatory and tax climate, and we're just to have such a progressive tax system that maybe we'd end up with more tax revenues by not punishing businesses so severely. I mean, there's just so much fundamental work that could be done. I don't have a blueprint for how to do it. I'm just we just have to start looking. That's the point of the piece, is that
right.
Maybe instead of just looking at these two choices, that we need to look at the more fundamental problem. And this idea that the state government is cut to the bone, just because, yes, it's true that revenues and expenditures have fallen dramatically as the economy's fallen. But what folks who point to that don't point out is that revenues went up and expenditures went up dramatically, you know, during the height of the boom. And,
right.
And the government spent the money hand over fist. So I don't think if we went back to 2004 spending levels that California would suddenly resemble Calcutta. And I think it's just that the whole point is to take a fresh look at how the state spends its money. Not that the Republicans have been great either, by the way. I mean, the prison budget has soared. And I don't have specific numbers, but it's the fastest growing part of the budget. And Republicans, with their whole law and order ethic, have helped drive those costs up.
Right.
So we need to look at everything.
So I guess my last question would be, you know, you mentioned in the piece, and we talked a little bit about how the Governor Brown is likely to go out with some tax increase ballot initiatives. That happened a couple of years ago with some across-the-board tax increases that the legislature enacted and then asked voters to push them out for a few more years, and the voters said no by a pretty wide margin. Do you think that when they come with this, you know, take-it-or-leave-it choice on the austerity budget, do you think they're going to get the tax increase ballot initiative passed, or do you think it's likely to fail? And if it fails, what then happens to the budget process in the state?
Right. That's the thing. I know Sacramento Bee columnist Dan Walters, who I quote in the piece, called it a doomsday scenario, because what if it doesn't work? I mean, California, the voters who come out for initiatives, the initiatives end up usually being much more conservative than the folk who are elected. Even with the union independent expenditures on behalf of the tax increases, and we know we can expect that, I'd be leery of really expecting Californians to vote to tax themselves more. And then what? And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But then we end up with approximately, I guess, the same situation we've been in all along, which is one of the fears I have is during the race for Prop 25, which was the two-thirds vote requirement, budget rather than the supermajority.
So this was the initiative that got passed this year that changed the budget rules so that so long as there's not a tax increase, they can pass it by a simple majority?
Right. Opponents of that argued that the initiative would actually allow certain tax increases. The supporters of it said, oh, no, it won't, because if they said that it would, then it probably wouldn't have passed.
Right.
I'm afraid that that's going to switch now. That the opponents of it will say, well, no, it won't allow tax increases. But the supporters might now argue in court that, well, actually, it might allow some tax increases. So that might end up in court, and that might become rather complicated. But I know conservatives who aren't that concerned, because the Democrats, they could raise taxes dramatically maybe once. And then what? If they won't reform current spending levels or the way they spend, they're not going to reform themselves. So you can't just keep taxing and spending. I mean, I guess you can try, but at a certain point, there's so many businesses already leaving the state. You know, it's just something, our business climate is so punitive that it can't go on forever. So I don't know. Nobody knows how it's all going to play out.
We
have a $500 billion unfunded pension liability and an unemployment insurance fund that's upside down. And retiree health care, you know, in a deep hole.
Half a trillion here, half a trillion there. Eventually, you're talking about real money. These goings on will be exciting to watch, at least for people like me who don't live in California and can view it pretty much as a spectator sport. I'd encourage everybody to check out the piece. It's called California Leaders Offering False Budget Choices. And I want to thank again Steve Greenhut for being here today with us. That was this week's publicsectorinc.org policy podcast. Thanks very much for listening.